Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
This Jonathan Lee, who wired the $260,000 from China to Hunter Biden's personal account, he is part of the Chinese Communist Party. He is a huge business person in China with a Chinese-backed entity that funds investments in the United States. So what the one issue in Congress that Democrats and Republicans agree on is we don't want China taking over industries important to our national security. We don't want China buying farmland. This is the guy that does that. Jonathan Lee is the person who represents China. And if you research it, Joe Biden met with Jonathan Lee. He wrote a letter of recommendation for his child to get into college in the United States. There is a relationship that was developed between Joe Biden and Jonathan Lee when he was vice president, and now we have evidence that Jonathan Lee, who Joe Biden said his son never took any money from, said his son never took any money from China. Hunter Biden's lawyer said that Hunter never received any money from this guy. We have evidence that he received over $250,000, and the address listed on the wire was Joe Biden's personal residence.
Joe Biden's personal residence. Imagine that. Are you guys surprised? I mean, I'm not surprised with anything that they're like finding out with any of this. I just am not. Welcome to the show. This is how we're starting off. It's debate day. I think we'd all rather die a fiery death than have to watch another damn debate. Hey, guess what? It's on the same cable news network with the same people asking, and then they're being asked the same questions by people you see every day anyway. I hate politics in this country, and I'm in this industry. I love what I do, but these people are making me hate it. So welcome to the show. We're gonna get you set up as we go into the stupidity that is this evening. But, I mean, can we just for a moment, and yes, you're lovable curmudgeon, very curmudgeonly, Dana Loesch here with you. Listen, you guys know how to listen. Find it on a device they call the radio. Stream the damn thing online. Find the simulcast, 347 DirecTV. So, what else do you need? We joked about this. Dude, did we not joke about this? This was a joke. We were joking. We got to stop doing that because it comes true. So we were like, well, what, you know, nobody would care even if they found documents that had Joe Biden's address. And then we laugh because we're like, we're so clever. And now look, oh gosh, here we are. They literally are finding stuff with Joe Biden's address. I mean, literally, it's Joe Biden's address on this. Now, what I love is the left was all, I mean, this is what they were saying yesterday. They were freaking out yesterday. They're like, well, you know what? That's just, you can't really prove anything because, you know, that's when Hunter, you know, Hunter was, he was leasing a place in Malibu. Oh, but yes, at that exact same time, he was living at the address that's on the wire transfer. Oh, bummer for you. How much of a bummer is it for you that this guy constantly tells on himself because he overshares everything? He lives his entire life, you know, online, shares everything. He writes books about everything that he does, tells on himself all the time. So everybody knows what he's doing. So that doesn't actually work. Doesn't actually work. Not at all. So the other thing, too, is some people were saying that, well, the Republicans must have had this for a long time. I don't really think so. I think they're still going through all of this stuff and they're just reporting it as they get it. Because this was all of this stuff. This is, you know, the web of shell companies that he has, that the Bidens set up, and they have to just, I mean, they're having to go through all of this. And I, here's what's just so funny to me. Because they're just, they're arguing, I mean, the whole thing. I mean, that's, Hunter Biden was Hunter Biden, he had a place in Malibu. He was also living in 2019 in Wilmington. But Joe Biden was constantly going to Wilmington. And plus, here's the other thing too, because I'm going through all my notes on this stuff. This is from James Comer stuff. Because the guy, Jonathan Lee, who was the CCP dude, Joe Biden helped get his kid into college. Joe Biden, there are emails. Hunter Biden introduced Jonathan Lee to Joe Biden. Joe Biden was helping Jonathan Lee's daughter get into college. And so, you know, the Democrats that are like, well, you know, Hunter Biden was in Wilmington, etc. But he also did have his place in Malibu. He was telling on himself all the time. There are also photos of him in Wilmington driving around, but there are photos of him also in Malibu at the same time. Joe, also photos of Joe in Wilmington at the same time. There's not enough defense of Joe Biden being removed from that situation to make that case. It's done, guys. Just admit it. The damn thing's done. You either believe in justice or you don't. That's it. You either believe in justice or you don't. I'm going to tell you what right now. I will literally just, I will burn down the studio and everything that carries radio broadcast all around the country if I'm expected to litigate the stupid valuation of Mar-a-Lago. I don't care about it. This is, to me, this is the guy who was the vice president of the United States, then the president of the United States, who was literally helping geopolitical foes, and he was enriching himself off of it. So I don't care. I don't care about any of the Trump stuff. I don't care. Everything they accuse everyone else of, they're actually guilty of it. So I just don't care. I care about the address that was on this. I care about the fact that Joe Biden is making fat, sweet bank off of the communist Chinese. That's what I care about. I care about that we have this administration that's sold out and is completely moving to subjugate us to underneath the CCP. So there it is. I'm looking at all of this. Isn't it? So, Kane, what do you tell people when they're like, well, if the money was actually wired, Kane, actually, A-C-K-S-H-U-L-L-Y, actually, then it would have gone to a bank, not his address. But they list the address of the beneficiary, you stupid moron, yes, who has no idea how wires work.
That's how accounts work as well. I mean, you kind of have to give an address for your account.
I love these people are like, tell me that you know nothing about banking. Without telling me you know nothing about banking. I want to swing them around by their hair.
And by the way, the more secure way to send money is by wire.
But actually, Karen.
I mean, that's how house money
but
is
actually,
sent to title companies. It's literally the safest.
The
and
banks don't just send money right to the address, Karen, actually.
Common way to send money.
Oh, my gosh. You know, the thing is... And the other, because they were one of these dudes. Who's this dude? Let me pull this guy up because I had him marked. I can't tell you what I have him on my notes listed as. So I was just like hurriedly going through stuff last night. I just put blank hole and I had the link to this guy. And I'm like, the me of now wants to go back to the me of 11 o'clock last night and go, what did you mean here? He was saying, so he pointed, he goes, imagine them arguing that if someone stayed at their parents' house during the pandemic and listed it as their permanent listed it as their permanent address for work and got a paycheck, the parents also somehow work for the employer. So he's arguing that, well, Hunter Biden was staying at his parents' house in 2019, you know, because of the pandemic, except now it's my turn to go, well, actually, the pandemic didn't actually start until March of 2020. End scene. So that excuse doesn't fly.
Right. And also, James Comer said this, if you want to hear it.
Yes, I do want to hear
that
it.
On the wire that Hunter Biden received from the Chinese national, the beneficiary address listed was Joe Biden's home address at a time where I'm pretty certain Hunter Biden was not living in the home of Joe Biden.
Yeah, he remembered the place that he had in Venice, and then he moved from Venice Beach to I guess the Upper Hills in Malibu or whatever the cliff in Malibu, because he had that swanky next door mansion that Secret Service had to lease out.
$20,000 a month.
And dude, I don't even know what he does. What does he do? Oh, he got lucky in the Gametes lottery. That's what happened. So, you okay over there?
Yeah.
It's one of them weeks, dude. It's one of them weeks.
Only Wednesday.
I feel like the Joker, like Heath Ledger's Joker. That's what I feel like. I feel like that right now because this is insane. It's crazy. It's crazy, crazy. I mean, I'm looking at all this. And you just, how much more of a smoking gun do you need? It's kind of, how much more? I mean, he got wires that originated in Beijing. Tons of money. And they listed Joe Biden's house as the beneficiary address from all the funds. Which, you know what? That had to be kind of a blank you from the CCP, if I'm thinking about it, really. That's so obvious. They just didn't care. That's the thing. They don't care. They don't care about law and order. I'm getting to the point where I don't care about law and order.
Right.
Dude, that's the last thing y'all want. I am at the point. You do not want millions of people like me not caring about law and order. Because when you get us down to level DGAF, crazy stuff throughout history has happened. Just saying. Crazy stuff. You don't want us to get to that point. Interesting, one of the things that Comer noted, the payments on this just kind of tapered off after someone left office in January 2017. January 2017, who could have left? What could have happened in January 2017? Kane, do you know? What could have that been?
Switched from Democrat to Republican power.
Oh.
That's weird.
Oh, yeah, that's probably what it was. So we're going to talk more about this here because there's a lot to unpack and I want to make sure you can follow it. Also, immigration. Have you all been seeing this? So Elon Musk is going to head to the southern border. He's even going to the border.
Where's Kamala?
Joe Biden doesn't know where to. No, they like to go to El Paso near the border, but not at the border, and then say they were at the border. And then they go to the place where the wall is and then they leave. Mm-hmm. Now, since we had on Texas Governor Greg Abbott the other day and he spoke to that Colony Ridge development, which was an undercover an investigative piece and a series over at Daily Wire. They said because Abbott, the Colony Ridge, you know, this thing that cropped up and it's full of people who enter the country illegally. It's like an illegal immigrant giant subdivision that's turning into like bigger than Manhattan. It's crazy. And now they're going to have a special legislative session next month. And he said they're trying to put information together. They're subpoenaing the developer, et cetera, et cetera. And they don't want this place to be used as a foothold by the cartels here in the United States. And now that you have AG Ken Paxton, who's free too, now that he's not fighting the stupid Dade Phelan witch hunt, now he can initiate and take charge of that full investigation into this. So we're gonna follow this more as well. We got a lot to get into, including some stupid primary stuff. We'll preview some of the debate. I'm gonna say stuff that's obvious to you, and then we're gonna make fun of a whole bunch of stuff because it's just that type of time. It is. We're not in the serious primary period yet. You have heard me talk a lot about how much I love my Kel-Tec P50. It's just so versatile and has become a global choice of protective details and sport shooters like me. Well, have y'all seen the new R50? Like the P50, the R50 carbine is light, well-balanced, and easily manipulated. This side-folding tack driver gives you maximum speed, accuracy, and power downrange. It is great fun out on the range. It looks like a SpaceX blaster, and the 5.7 cartridge comes in several variants, from sporting to hunting to serious personal defense. Now, the R50 comes with two 50-round double-stack mags that lay horizontally along the top, and just like the P50, the R50 offers over 7 inches of rail space up top for a wide range of optic options and even more space on the bottom for accessories. To learn more about the new R50 carbine, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Keltec, 30 years of innovation to help secure your world. Visit KeltecWeapons.com today. KeltecWeapons.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right here. So the we got the debates tonight, as you guys know, and we're going to I'll be following up with a write-up about that later on Substack. This Social Security agency is demanding that Americans pay them back after overpaying. A bunch of reports have indicated that some people have been receiving demands from the Social Security Administration to pay the agency after they were overpaid on their benefits. According to the published reports, the issue tends to arise when the agency overpays people who receive workers' compensation payments. A recent IG report found that the administration collected about $5 billion in repayments in 2022. $22 billion still remains outstanding. So what are you telling me, that some people got stuff that they weren't supposed? I mean, that's our government. Yay. It's our government. So great. You're so excited. CVS says it's going to close 9 additional stores. Look at it. Because crime. Yay, crime and everything else. Walgreens, Rite Aid, etc. CVS. CVS says they're closing 900 stores. There are 3 more big pharmacy chains that are shutting locations and cutting hours. They said that because of rampant shoplifting at the store, they're going to have to come up with a new retail footprint strategy. And they're not the only ones that are having to do this. They said that they're shuttering these locations, cutting hours for pharmacists. They're trying to cut costs. No one cares about them cutting costs. Just let people steal your stuff. Right? It comes out of the ether. No one else's time is used into making this, right? Just let them steal it. So Commander, the German Shepherd from the Bidens, did anyone honestly think that the Bidens, their dogs, were going to be any better than their kids? I mean, when you don't, a dog, you can just tell the sheer and total chaos of this administration, because you have this German Shepherd, you have these dogs. Commander said, the report is that he bit like the 11th Secret Service agent, or the 11th biting incident for this dog. You know why? Because they don't they don't train their dogs is why. They just get these dogs because they like the appearance of having these dogs, but they don't get off their asses and actually train them. I mean, do you honestly think that look at their kids. They're drug addicts, strung out. They live at the White House. They're doing, shady business. They're with prostitutes and making videos of themselves and all kinds of stuff. Did you honestly think that these dogs were going to turn out any different from the family that couldn't even raise their human kids? Oh, this is not this dog's fault. It's always a reflection on the owner. It always is. Good heavens. I'm sure this is just going to go so well. The CIA, I can't get this open for some reason, but apparently they're expected to roll out some kind of AI thing. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all 3 major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. Patriot.
Every crisis is an opportunity for government to take our freedoms away. The Wall Street Journal reports that the Security and Exchange Commission has created a database to track every single stock transaction in your portfolio. Whether it be 9/11, the Patriot Act, when is this going to end? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On that face-off between DeSantis, let us not forget that DeSantis also shut the beaches down. DeSantis took a page out of Gavin Newsom's playbook. Despite what he says, he shut the beaches down. He did force vaccines. He did force face masks on our kids. So he tries to act like he was perfect. And Florida was
open. DeSantis forced vaccines on kids?
He forced vaccines on people, on workers. He forced face masks on children. And he was for all that. DeSantis was for all of that. So what? He thinks that we forgot that as well. Now, granted, he didn't continue the misery as long
as...
Was it one month
or a couple of weeks on what it was?
It was a little more than that.
So
it was a little more than that.
This is this audio sound. This is Carrie Lake, who was on some podcast the other day. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here. I'm about to rustle some jimmies, as my friend, my late friend Chip Gurdus would say. Dana's about to rustle some jimmies. Well, I'm going to make it be really clear. It is not my job to persuade anybody to vote or support anyone else. I don't give a rat's ass. I don't care. I have my opinion. Y'all have yours. Welcome to America. But one of the things I can't stand is when I see people bitch and moan about being lied about by the press, and then they go out in the press and they lie about people. Like, well, who is you? Like, what? You know, don't expect people to defend you from the same attacks that you want to push on other Republicans, especially when you're claiming the mantle of Republicanism. Now, I don't understand this. Why attack other Republicans, like solid Republican governors? That's the kind of thing that makes me super hostile. I wrote about this in Substack yesterday. Now, I don't dislike Lake. I've hosted her on my program. Her people approached us and asked us if we would like to have her on, you know, previously. And we said, yeah, we never, you know. But what bothers me is this type of shenanigan, right? Why attack other Republicans? The thing that makes me hostile, like from 0 to 60 in under a second, is when people who have been constitutionalists for like barely one heartbeat take it upon themselves to act as the conscience or the bouncer for the conservative constitutionalist movement. And if you would like for me to take a biblical stance on this, I would encourage you to read Paul's words to Timothy in the New Testament. You're welcome. And then you can also check out Acts, and you can check out James, and you can check out everything else. Oh, I'm equipped today. The thing that gets me is this, like, because she, and I'm not saying anything that isn't public information. She was an Obama vote. I mean, she volunteered for the campaign. I mean, she was a Democrat. She was a Democrat member of the legacy press. She voted for Obama, et cetera, et cetera. Now, before someone wants to purposefully misconstrue what I say maliciously and anti-conservatively so in order to try to make a straw man, let me be clear. No one's disavowing new converts. That's not what this is about. The issue is that new converts don't really need to be serving as the bouncer for the Republican Party. And new converts definitely shouldn't be making false attacks on other people who have been way more conservative for far longer and have done far more for the cause than the person attacking them has ever done. I said this on Twitter yesterday, and you're going to get mad at me, but I'm going to say it again. She's the new Sarah Palin, except Sarah Palin could win her races. Do I believe in voter fraud? Are you asking this of me, the person who literally had to fight the Board of Elections to get someone who is illegally registered to vote at my address? You're asking me, who had to go through that, whether or not I think voter fraud exists? That's funny. The question isn't whether or not it exists. The question is whether or not it is centralized to the point where you think it can actually affect an election outright like that. That is the question. Now, because I'm a conservative, and because I love science, and because I believe in the Constitution, and because I believe that there are two separate genders, I also follow evidence. I don't have a dog in this fight, except towards the Constitution. Show me evidence and I'll follow. That's where I'm at. I'm not going to take speculation. I'm not going to take back and forth. I'm not going to take anything else. I follow evidence. I haven't seen it enough. All I know is this, and I think we have this audio soundbite. It should be the one where she's talking about McCain. I don't know why it has Wendy Rogers in here, because it's not. Is that the one where? Is a very specific clip. I want to play this for you because this is back when she was campaigning. She walked in. This was Carrie Lake. She walked into Sedona. And I don't care what you think about John McCain. This is not a thing on John McCain. Clearly, I've been on air for 3 hours, literally every day for 10 years. I have a well-documented body of work out there in the public that shows where I stand on all this stuff, right? But I'm going to play this audio soundbite for you, and I want to explain why this was tactically wrong. Listen.
We don't have any McCain Republicans in here, do we? All right, if you want, get the hell out. It was the party.
Okay, so do you see what I'm saying here? She walks in. This was like at a fundraiser, I believe, in Sedona. That's where he lived. Now, whatever you think about McCain, and we all got opinions. Typically, the state, and even more specifically, the town in which a certain well-known politician lives or did previously live and always did very well in elections, like by double digits, typically they look at him as like a hometown son, right? So would you agree that it's tactically bad to go into someone's town where they live and basically tell the people that like the guy, whether or not you like him or not, again, is irrelevant, but tell them to go blank themselves essentially because of that guy? Do you see now how this might tactically be a problem when you are running in a very close race and you're trying to get people enough turnout to overcome any kind of fraud that might be out there, right? This is my point. So this is kind of what I'm alluding to here. She did not help herself. And I think that's one of the reasons that, you know, she wasn't blowing through everything in her election is because of stuff like this. Now, like I said, I don't dislike her. That's irrelevant to all this too. But I'm just saying this, I don't understand why someone who is a new Republican feels the need to go out and attack someone who is a powerhouse governor for their party. Now, also keep in mind as well that you can say that Ron DeSantis is a good governor of Florida and a great asset to the Republican Party, and you can still like Trump. Hell, you can even still support him in the primary over DeSantis while acknowledging that DeSantis has been a powerhouse governor for the Republican Party. These two things can simultaneously exist. It's true. Now, to her claim, all governors followed the former president's dictum here. All of them did. But then, upon realizing relatively soon that the science went against masking and lockdowns, a few of the governors, including DeSantis, reversed their position, and Trump was mad. Do I want to sit here for the rest of the show and play audio where he was blasting them? Because I have all that saved and ready to go. You let me know. I got it saved in my online bookmarking system. I can fire it up. I can just take over for Kane and Steve, and I can just play it one right after the other. You let me know if you want me to do that. Because he was mad. He wanted them to stay closed. You let me know. I'll put it all in a post and I'll send it out to you if that's what you prefer. Just so you can understand what we're dealing with here. DeSantis was slammed from the White House for reopening. And then he had to fight people like the mayor, Suarez, the mayor of Miami, who wanted the beaches to stay closed. When they were still closing the beaches, that's when he went in and he fought them. And he moved legislatively to ban them from doing so. This is why so many people went to Florida. Literally all of our friends, every friend I have in my town in which I live, went to a rental in Florida. My husband and I actually were thinking of doing the same thing. We were thinking maybe we should pick up operations and just temporarily go to Florida. Because the schools were shut down, then they were going to do remote learning. We couldn't go a damn place in Texas. It was frustrating. I'm like, maybe we should do that. They were booked out. All the rentals were booked out like for 2 months. You couldn't even get a motel room. I was joking. I'm like, maybe we should just camp on the beach because, you know, I hate camping. I'm like, maybe we should just camp on the beach. I mean, that's how desperate I was at that point. So this is the thing. He fought with the executives, county executives and mayors to keep beaches open, et cetera, et cetera. So it is a really, so if you're mad at DeSantis and other governors for originally following Trump's edict, then why are you not mad at Trump for giving the damn edict and then raging at governors who decided to reverse it when they started following the science? That's a legitimate question that is separate from who you support in the primary. We got to be able to be critical thinkers here. Whether or not, you know, someone dislikes someone else in the primary, that's not a reason to just make up something. I didn't like it. I didn't support Liz Cheney lying about Trump. So why the hell would I support Carrie Lake lying about DeSantis? You see what I'm saying here? It's the same thing. So that's, Lake did not help herself. And then she tried to walk it back on Twitter. And then she ended up deleting it. She was like, well, it doesn't matter who did what. Well, it kind of does because you did it. I've always said, I don't have a problem with anybody unless they volunteer. If you didn't want this to be a problem, you shouldn't have said this stuff. We are not so rich on the Republican side and super conservative politicians, guys, that we can just start jettisoning them one after the other out of the party so that we can accommodate someone that we like specifically for a primary temporarily only. We are not that secure in the number of conservative politicians we have on our side yet. Now, as I said, because I put this in the post, I just don't think I got that vibe. I got that vibe that, you know, she's trying to be the bouncer for the movement. That's about the vibe. Whether you support Trump or DeSantis is irrelevant to the irrefutable fact that Florida was run well. Acknowledging this is not a slight against the former president, and it is insane to me that we have to weigh any kind of acknowledgement as such. By the way, there's always a tweet. November 9th, 2022, quote, congratulations to Governor Ron DeSantis on your decisive re-election victory. You've set the standard for conservative leadership at the state level nationwide. I look forward to trying to reach it. All right, moving on, because we got a couple of other things to get to. We've got this, we'll talk more about the Menendez thing coming up, but we also have the budget battle. The government's going to shut down Sunday, what is it, 1201? Sunday 1201 is when it's supposed to shut down. Okay, I'm all for that. Are you all for that, Kane? I would love to see it. Wouldn't you love to see it? I would love to see it. So, fingers crossed, right?
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
And let me say, I hope many of our colleagues agree. The Chinese government and other U.S. adversaries should own zero agricultural land in our country. I believe that. I mean, they're taking back our pandas. You know, we should take back all their farmland.
Not the pandas, guys. Not the pandas.
Give us back our pandas.
Do we have pandas to take? I mean, I'm like wondering about all of this. Like, what is the... That's so, in case you didn't know, that's John Fetterman, who I'm looking at some of the stuff here. That's John Fetterman. He's speaking about agricultural land and the CCP. And he's like, oh, my gosh, they're taking all their pandas. We should take back all of their farmland. Like, what? I was wondering, like, we had some pandas. Where the hell do they go? Where do they go? Wait. What is he? I don't even know. Let's just go with it. Let's just go with it. It's Panda Gate, everybody. Panda Gate. We really got to get to the bottom of Panda Gate. That's what we got to do. We got to get to the bottom of Panda Gate.
God, I didn't realize there was a conspiracy involving pandas.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
It's because there is, apparently.
I wonder if he's playing 4D chess and we just don't see it.
Dude, 4D, 5D chess.
5D.
Wait, what am I? 6D chess. Wait, Weiss, why limit yourself? 7D chess. Wow. But you know what, though, Kane? Some say it's 8D chess. Yeah. It's him. Such a great guy. That guy. And I wanted to see what he was wearing. Is he wearing the same?
Yeah, he's got a hoodie.
Yeah. Same stuff. Same hoodie. I mean, you're wearing a hoodie. Can you imagine if you showed up to your job? Like, what if you're a judge and you just showed up like in Umbros and Crocs? Like, what's that do? I'm very curious. Let's get some Umbros and Crocs out. Just, you know, good heavens. All right. So some of the stuff that we got coming up with all of this. This New York judge, I'm not really going to talk. Should I talk about it? I just don't care. Do I think that a New York judge understands Florida property? No. But I'm also more interested in the wire with the wired money to Wilmington, Delaware, to a one Mr. Joe Biden. And then Colin Kaepernick is apparently begging the Jets in a letter to get on their practice squad. But remember when he did this like whole thing, this whole video where he compared football to slavery? He did this whole thing. And now, but if it's slave, like, why are you begging then to be back in it? I think he was trying to be a race hustler. And then when that didn't work out, now he's crawling back to football. That's what it seems like. We're going to dive into that. The Biden administration spending $100 million of our money on tree equity. I don't even know what that is. What is tree equity? Tree equity sounds like a horrible gardening movement. Sounds so bad. We're going to get into that. California Democrats. Newsom signed the bill forcing gun owners to pay the sin tax. I talked about this, I think it was on Fox Business last week. You knew that was coming. They want to make it more difficult in this Biden economy for poor people to be able to afford firearms. And now they're making people pay a sin tax for purchasing a firearm. Can you imagine if you had to pay a sin tax for all your natural rights? Democrats are always on the wrong side of that, right? Like ballot, like poll taxes, all that. They're always on the wrong side of history for this stuff. Why is that? It's amazing. We got also some of the latest with the southern border. It's bad. I was watching people. Now they have people down there, members of the press, videotaping illegal immigrants taking their kids under barbed wire. Maybe you don't take your kids under barbed wire. Maybe you don't do that. Maybe don't try to break the law and come into a country illegally. And I noticed how when there were complaints about it's all young men, then there were just only, there were a handful, only in Eagle Pass, of some kids coming with some adults across the border. We're going to dive into all of that and more. All of this coming up, second hour. Don't miss.
Well, it's absolutely right. Look, I come from South Bend, Indiana. It's the home of UAW Local 5 and UAW Local 9. I saw how the past generation of union auto jobs helped build the middle class and build communities like the one that I grew up in. I also saw what happened when those factories closed. What the UAW is trying to do right now is to make sure that this next chapter of the auto industry, which, let's be very clear, these cars are going electric with or without us. The question is whether the U.S. is going to lead or whether China's going to lead.
What the hell? What do you mean? They're going to go without us. What? They're going to go electric without us. It's Secretary Mayor Poop Booty Juice. Don't give me the shade about how.
It's how the president says it.
It's how the president says his name. Just don't do it. Okay. Don't give me no shade about that. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. As always, good to be with you. You can listen to the program coast to coast. You can stream it. You can watch the simulcast, Channel 347 DirecTV. He was saying that going into the EV stuff, he was doing this interview because the president went, he spent 45 seconds on the picket line. The press were like, oh my gosh, the president of the United States joined the picket line. Oh my gosh. For like 45 seconds. Okay. And then I think Trump is going there to talk to people instead of the debate tonight, et cetera, et cetera. So and this is all the strike that they want a 40% pay increase, et cetera, all of this. And they say that EV is expensive to make. Because, well, they're not wrong there. It is actually expensive to make. I mean, that's actually not a lie. But what Secretary Mayor Newsom, former Poop Booty Juice, is saying here, he couldn't answer really the question because people aren't, and this is something that, this is how it was basically presented to him, but it's like people are not buying the whole entire approach going into EVs, you know, going into electrification. And they're putting so much on, and they're incredibly expensive, to say nothing about the expense of it all. And to actually manufacture them, it's incredibly expensive. We don't even have the infrastructure to be able to support everybody going electric. And I don't know how he thinks that they're all going to go. I don't know how he thinks they're all going to go electric. I mean, I like how, Senator Kennedy from Louisiana had asked before, if they're so popular, how come people got to be paid to drive them and buy them? I mean, that's true. That's incredibly true. But he also said this, and I thought this was, I'm going to pull this up, because this is going to come, all this is going to come up in the debate tonight, the Republican primary debate. This is, okay, audio soundbite 11. He was trying to explain why China has the monopoly and the distinct advantage, and we don't. This was so stupid. Listen to this.
Well, this is another example of creating or contributing to a problem and then trying to play politics with it. This technology is happening. It is coming. It is coming no matter what. The problem is that China was able to build an advantage during the Trump administration because the last administration didn't take the steps that were needed in order to make sure that that EV revolution was American-led.
What? Oh, so just like in the last... So that was just then, huh? It only happened during the Trump administration. China had no rare earth elements, and they had no process or manufacturing ability to turn the rare earth elements into usable materials that can be put into batteries, you know, chips, et cetera, et cetera. Tell me that you have no idea how this whole industry works without telling me. That's it. Here's the issue with this is that the claim that somehow the last administration made it easier is just not that's not truthful. I mean, that's hysterically not truthful because the administration rejected the agenda that actually was going to make us as dependent upon China. More so, actually, let me take that back. More dependent upon China than we were even on OPEC for energy, because that's what it is. That's what's happening. You have this green energy transition that people act like is somehow, it's green, it's great for the planet, look how much we care about renewables. And absent from the debate is the renewable quality of oil and gas. Absent from the debate is the difficulty in extracting the rare earth elements needed to power the whole quote unquote green new agenda. Now, absent from the debate is the absence of infrastructure to support this. I mean, our grid couldn't handle everybody plugging in. Hell, they got brownouts in California now. People, depending on what power company they're using in Texas, get emails. I mean, for the love, you can't. Where do you think that electricity comes from? People act like it just like appears in the atmosphere and you just fly a kite up all Ben Franklin style and you capture it like that. No, it's created in coal powered plants. That's where it's created. In fact, it's over 87% of it created in coal powered plants. It still is. It's not even an honest conversation. I mean, just to dive in, we've talked about this before. The research that goes into the rare earth elements and the metals mining and all of that, if you compare that with the fossil fuel extraction, there was a report that came out a week or so ago that looks at the impact of transitioning to green and the ecological damage that's a consequence of it compared to that of 150 years of drilling and mining for fossil fuels. The study gets into it. Looked and found that 23 million people worldwide, including 6 million livestock, over 16 million acres of irrigated farmland, there's like 300,000 miles worth of rivers have been contaminated by the rare earth element mining, the toxic byproducts of this, which seeps into the water. This is what, obviously, again, electronics, solar cells, the wind turbines, all the batteries, et cetera, et cetera. And so, we've talked about some of this before. We also talked about how, I think it was in, was it 20, it was like 2019, maybe it was 2019 or before then. It was before the 2020 election. ABC did this piece. It was like this big investigative piece on the 20,000 kids that were hand mining cobalt in the People's Democratic Republic of Congo. And that's the same cobalt mine that Hunter Biden's Rosemont Seneca firm helped facilitate. They acquired the mineral rights of that mine for China. So China ended up acquiring the mineral rights of that cobalt, the biggest cobalt mine in the world. Not a lot of people in the media have been talking about that. Interesting. But the study was published in Science, and it was led by a researcher at University of Lincoln who looks at spatial ecology, et cetera, threats to global water supply. And they said that in the study, they developed a new database supported by on-the-ground testing, which shows all the rivers and floodplains that have been contaminated by the industrial processes to get out the rare earth elements across the globe. They said that North America is affected, not so, and South America is super affected. They were looking at China. I mean, it's China's some of the worst. China doesn't have even labor protections, environmental protections. Like, one electric car requires 6 times more metallic and mineral materials than a regular combustion engine car. That's according to MIT's university, their team of researchers. That's the MIT Environmental Solutions Initiative. They were looking at green tech technologies like turbines and electric cars. They said that they require more mined minerals than the fossil fuels infrastructure. And of course, more mined minerals means an offset of more damage to the environment. And that the heavy investments and initial overhead, they were saying that, I mean, it dwarfs what you're putting in for fossil fuels. It's crazy. It's crazy. And we have way cleaner extraction methods. It's also a lot more difficult to even get all the rare earth elements out of the earth. That's the other thing. So, I mean, this is not, they're not even being, we can't even have a genuine, honest conversation about this. That's why I just avoid it entirely, because people insist that it be predicated upon, you know, this idea that what you're doing is somehow helpful to the environment and it's green and it shows that you care, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't. It's a fad. It's posturing. It's virtue signaling. It just means that if you want an EV because you like the technology and you like how fast it goes and you like all this other stuff, no judgment. But if you're someone who gets an EV because you want a virtue signal to everyone else that this proves that you care more about the environment because your pollution, which outweighs that of a combustion engine car, that your pollution is hidden because it's all the way over in China or it's maybe down in, you know, near Paraguay, that somehow means you're greener. That's stupid. And you deserve to be ridiculed for that because it's a lie. So for going back to Secretary Mayor Newmont Poop Booty Juice with this, he doesn't even, how does a guy who barely was mayor of South Bend, Indiana, a small town that really didn't have major, the biggest infrastructure or transportation issue they had were all the potholes that he wouldn't fill, which is why they call him Pothole Pete. But he's just, this is a guy who's out of his depth in this. I mean, why does he sit here and goes, oh, these cars are going to go electric with or without us. You know what decides whether or not society goes electric? The free market. The free market makes that determination, not government, not you. The free market makes that determination. And if the free market isn't making the determination, then the reality is that the free market doesn't support such a determination. Because if they did, they'd already be going there. End of. Now, we have the second debate tonight. I'm going to have a debate live thread that I'll have going up for subscribers over at Chapter and Verse on Substack. There's still too many damn people on the stage. I hope that there's some actual questions on China and economic policy. Vivek Ramaswamy, if they get into green or China or anything, because this guy's lied so much about his involvement. I mean, you know, he makes money with the CCP. You can like him, but just acknowledge that fact. I mean, we're adults. But when he talks about becoming independent and with regards to the manufacturing of chips, et cetera, and how we're going to do that in the United States, one of the questions that I've never heard asked of this guy by anybody is, well, how do you plan to do that without copying some sort of green new agenda in the manner that Joe Biden has? Because it sounds like you're talking about a big government bailout. That's what it sounds like, because that's what it is. There's no free market solution. Like, all of his answers go back to the government. So that'll be interesting if anyone has the wherewithal to actually ask that question instead of asking something stupid like they did at the end of the first one.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Michelle Obama is going to collect a check for $741,000 for giving a one-hour speech about diversity and inclusion at a Munich conference. Can you imagine getting that kind of a payday for a one-hour speech? Over 700,000 euros for her appearance at the Bits and Pretzels Founder Festival. Organizers said that she had topped the list of people that participants wanted to take part in year after year, and her husband previously spoke at the festival in 2019. So yeah, that's like nearing $750,000 for a one-hour speech on inclusion and diversity. Man, it's a good hustle if you can get it, man. So let's see. The FTC has sued Amazon for illegally maintaining monopoly power. The They said the illegal conduct, their ongoing pattern, blocks competition, allowing them to wield monopoly to inflate prices, degrade quality, stifle innovation, etc., etc. The complaint alleges that Amazon violates the law with this exclusionary conduct, and I'm assuming that this relates to Amazon Web Services. A lot of the writing about this out in the press is horrific because no one's taught how to properly write a story and not bury their lead anymore in J school. They're all too busy learning that vaginas are penises and penises are vaginas. So they said, it's true, you know it. So they said that this has to do with the preference of Amazon's products over the ones that Amazon knows are of better quality. It's the biased search that Amazon puts out there. So they said they're not actually organic search results. It's like you have paid advertising, deliberately increasing junk ads that worsen search quality, charging a lot, very expensive fees and hundreds of thousands for sellers that have to rely on Amazon to stay in business. So you have to pay a fee for each item sold, advertising fees, etc. It is true because they do promote their own stuff, even coming up in the search engine as their own little search engine that are better than that, or that are ranked higher on the search results within Amazon than better quality stuff, or even stuff that has higher ratings. So they want a permanent injunction. But if it's their company, though, then okay. It's their company. Like, you don't get to walk into a company and be like, I don't like the way that you prioritize your own products over others that use your platform. Shut up. What has the FTC done that's good? You want to know what the FTC stands for? You want to?
No.
Are you sure, Kane?
Sure.
It's educational. No. Target's closing 9 stores across 4 states because people can't stop coming in there and stealing everything for bread. Like in Philly last night. I didn't know they were based in Minneapolis. The Minneapolis-based company, they're going to be closing locations in Harlem, New York City, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco Bay Area, effective October 21st. No one's surprised, because have you seen what's been happening? They said that they just can't. It's difficult. They said the retail crime is so bad. It's expensive to even constantly replace stolen shopping carts. But they said that customers are turning up less and less because of these experiences. They said closing a store is the last result, but with some of these locations, they have no other way to approach it. They have nothing else to do. So we got debate preview. We've got more economy, law and order, and tons of other stuff. Stick with us.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
That's pretty rich coming from a guy who's prepared to stop air traffic control staffing. Look, we see a repeated pattern here, which is creating a problem or contributing to a problem and then trying to score points off of that same problem. We see it at the border. We see it with transportation. Some of these same Republican congressmen who lined up to try to make a partisan issue out of the flight disruptions that were happening last year because of COVID, now they're here threatening to get in the way of air traffic controllers getting paid, getting trained, and even putting out proposals that would stop us
or
delay us
hair?
From modernizing computer systems.
It's like it's slicked to his head. I know he's like talking about stuff, but I'm like, a little pomade goes a long way. Welcome back to the program. Your hateful curmudgeon, Dana Lash, here with you. Come hate everything with me. You can listen to the radio show coast to coast. You can watch the simulcast. You can join along in the discussion on YouTube, Channel 347 DirecTV. So he says that the Republicans are creating the problems at the border and transportation just so they, what? What? Have you all been seeing the feds like cutting the fencing there at the border and then people coming out? I saw somebody's dog run across. A dog ran across the Rio, just bolted right in the U.S. Wait a minute, though. If I find a stray dog somewhere that I want to bring home when I'm on vacation, I can't do that. But if I were to sneak in from across the southern border, I could. Is that how I understand? That's how I understand it. That's what it seems like, right? That's what it seems like. Just saying. Huh. Fascinating stuff. Did you hear the story of this 95-year-old veteran who was kicked out of his nursing home to make a way for housing illegal immigrants? 95-year-old Frank Tomorrow. This is in Staten Island. It's an assisted living home, and they are turning it into a facility to help with New York City's overflow of illegal immigrants. He's a 95-year-old Korean War veteran. He said he was given less than 2 months' notice to figure out where he was going to live after his nursing home that he lived in was sold to become a facility for illegal immigrants. Listen to some of this, because he was talking about this in a press conference in Staten Island to, I mean, this is insane. Listen.
It was very disgraceful what they did to the people in Island Shores. They gave us time to get out, but they never said when, and they never said they were going to get us out. And then one day, there's a thing on the board, a notice on the board, you gotta be out by March 15th. I think that gave us like a month and a half to find out where we're gonna go. I thought my suitcases were gonna be on the curb because I'm not that fast. If it wasn't for my daughter, they would have been on the curb. But that's what it happened. And that was it. I said, no, you're not moving me. And they said, yes, we are. And it, everything was done behind closed doors.
I think there apparently some said that some of the veterans have been evicted. They were staying at a hotel on vouchers. I mean, I told you the story of one of my friends who was going to Massachusetts for an event that their kids were involved in. It was out in the burbs, and their hotel reservations were canceled because the hotel, they were housing illegal immigrants. They're taking all the overflow, and so they're scrambling because that was like one of like two or three hotels in the area, and it was, you know, it's a suburban town, so there's a limited number of hotels. They're trying to figure out where to stay, but they canceled the reservations that they made like 4 months ago, so that they could house illegal immigrants there. And you know it's probably also taxpayer funded as well. What does that say of a country that you're kicking out your veterans so that people who enter the country illegally get free room and board? I mean, that's not hyperbole. It's not exaggeration. That's literally what's happening. I am amazed that I'm amazed with this. This judge, in Staten Island, they said they're pushing back against it. They have some of their local representatives, and then they also have the representative Nicole Maliotakis, who's been a critic. She was the one who held the press conference yesterday to discuss this, because this was audio from late yesterday. This isn't it. All the people that voted for this, I mean, I don't believe in quartering soldiers, but I think if you're voting to undermine the sovereignty of the United States by allowing our government to ignore entry laws, then why don't you quarter some of these illegal immigrants in your home so that veterans don't have to be pushed out of theirs? When we told people this was going to happen, they called us racist. They said we were racist, when even though it has nothing to do with race. This is applicable in any sovereign country. We told people this is what's going to happen if you just allow people to flood across the border. You have no idea who's coming in. You have no way of even knowing whether or not a kid that comes in is with people who are their parents. I told you the story. The New York Times wrote about this. This is not even like it came from redstate.com. This is our Daily Wire. It was the New York Times that wrote how under DHS, under this administration, there were like something like 200,000 kids that were brought in. Half of those, they have no idea where they went. They just lost track of them. And then half of that, they believe, may have been into labor or other trafficking. And then there was an additional follow-up story where they found all these kids that had been, you know, underage kids working in, and that was just a small percentage, working in factories, etc. Like adults show up to fill out the job application, and then it's the kids that show up to do the work. And a lot of these kids are brought in. They don't really want to come in. They're brought in kind of by themselves just to get other groups of adults in, and who claim that they're, you know, they have a familial relationship. There's been no concern about any of that. The only time that they bring cameras down there, or they pretend to care about kids at the border, is when we pointed out the inordinate amount of young men that were coming across the border. And then all of a sudden, the very next day, oh, here's a group with some kids. Watch them as they army crawl under barbed wire. Nothing in the press. I've only seen the story about this vet in two places. It's the place, it's called Island Shores. That is horrific. They didn't even give them time to register complaint against the decision. They just told people it's done. It's been sold. You got to leave. And it's been sold to an NGO that's housing illegal immigrants there. So they're evicting veterans, as Kane noted, in order to house the lawless. Yeah, it does. Kane, this sounds exactly like the Democrats run the VA. Yep. This sounds like a VA move.
Yep.
I mean, your heart breaks when you hear these types of stories. It's amazing to me. And amazing to me. And this is why I want the government to shut down. I have no problem whenever anybody within this administration tries to push back on this. Oh, well, they're not funding this. The Republicans don't want to fund this like Poot Buttigieg was doing. What they need to show is the lawlessness that's taking place at the border. You're wanting to tie in billions more for Ukraine. I mean, we already realize that we're paying for pensions. We already know we're paying for their pensions. Who was it? I have this story. Let me pull this up. Who was it? The defense minister just gave his daughter a $7 million French villa as a wedding present. Let me pull this up. That was something that had been reported. Oh, interesting. I mean, that seems, I don't know where that money came from. But I just kind of feel like, you know, there's no accountability there. We have stuff domestically that desperately needs support. It seems like we need to be focusing the attention there. And if they don't want to do it, then shut it down. I'm fine with that. Speaking of shutdowns, we have a couple more things here, because that it's going to be Sunday at midnight. I think it's like Sunday at 12:01. For instance, this is audio summit 14. Representative Lawler. They're mad. They're mad about this. Listen to this.
Any final continuing resolution would, of course, be bipartisan, because the Democrats control the Senate. The president is a Democrat. He's going to need to sign off on it. But obviously, when you're trying to pass something through the House, you want to work as a conference. The American people elected a House Republican majority to serve as a check and balance and to be able to govern.
Yeah.
And so some of my colleagues have, frankly, been stuck on stupid and refused to do what we were elected to do against the vast majority of the conference who have been working to avoid a shutdown.
So Lawler's argument here, and this is a Republican, and this is also the problem with the Republican Party. His argument here presupposes that Republicans were elected to simply rubber stamp everything Democrats propose, which also includes taxpayer-funded abortion on demand, which goes against existing law, by the way. Also sending unaccountable billions more to Ukraine, funding medically unnecessary genital and breast surgeries. Those are things that Democrats have been pushing to include in this as it is part of the NDAA. While omitting any kind of reinforcement for any kind of border security. So his argument is that Republicans were to just spend money on all of that, and that's what they were elected to do. Because I know that when I cast my vote and give the power of consent through my vote, I'm expecting my elected representatives to represent according to how the people elected them. I mean, they elected them to be smart about money. They elected them not to spend unaccountable billions upon billions on a foreign land dispute. They were elected to not waste our money on medically unnecessary political identity surgeries or taxpayer-funded abortion on demand as birth control. That's the kind of stuff that we don't want our money spent on. And so for Lawler to say something like this, I mean, when you have Republicans like this that push these Democrat Party lines, I mean, who the hell needs Democrats? It looks like Lawler's the guy who's stuck on stupid. It's like Lawler's the guy who apparently doesn't understand that the majority of Americans, and he did himself say that, you know, Republicans have a House majority here, that he apparently doesn't realize that Americans don't want to foot the bill for all of this unnecessary stuff. Especially during a time when we're dealing with inflation. People are broke. I mean, this is what an embarrassment to the party. This is the kind of fight. And then, of course, he goes on CNN. CNN is happy. Some of these lawmakers are so happy to prostitute themselves on cable news networks because they think it's going to get them some shine. They think it's going to get them a little bit of attention. Oh, my gosh, I get my name out there on a cable news network. Well, what they're too stupid to realize, since, you know, Lawler was the one who brought up Stuck on Stupid, is that they're going to use you one time and then it'll be a one and done. Unless you can be a useful idiot in perpetuity, you're not going to go back on again. But what you're going to have done is betrayed your actual constituency. I don't have a lot of respect for these people, so they don't have respect for us, so don't expect me to reciprocate. We've got Florida Man on the way and a bunch more because we got debate preview. I just don't know what to expect from this debate. I'm not excited. I'm not excited because I'm just tired of it already. I told you this is one of the earliest primaries ever.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I mean, honestly, this is kind of what I would do, too, if I, you know, was like a squatter. The squatter stuff just absolutely amazes me. A Florida woman was found eating a sandwich after she moved into a multi-million-dollar home while the owners were on vacation. Yeah. Okay. So I love this whole like headline and subhead. So the subhead is, police found the woman wearing an Athleta dress that reportedly belonged to the owner. So she was arrested. Police like went into the kitchen. She moved in while the owners were out of town on a trip. 54-year-old Luisa Villa of Fort Myers. She moved in the Bonita Springs home along with her dog while the owners were gone. A maintenance worker found her when he went to check on the house. And then he found a suitcase by the front door, heard a dog barking when he entered. Then he immediately called the owners, who alerted the police. The police came over and they found her in the kitchen eating a sandwich and wearing the dress belonging to the owner. She told police that she was the owner and she had just bought it. However, she was asked to show proof of ownership and she provided the officers with fake documents. They said they were three different pieces of paper with certificate of ownership, all which had the same notary stamp. They said none of them had like an official deed or a bill of sale. They didn't even have a proper state seal on them. None of it. And so they don't know how she was able to get into the house because they couldn't find signs of breaking and entering. The woman admitted to police that she stole the dress, which was $180, but she offered to reimburse the owner for it. So this broad's in Lee County Jail on charges of larceny, burglary, fraud, resisting an officer, and she's held on a $21,500 bond. So in July, authorities in Fort Lauderdale removed 10 squatters from a multi-million dollar property that was left damaged and infested with bugs. I'm very much castle doctrine. So if you squat, you're going to drop. Yeah. That's kind of how that's how I look at it, because that's how it is. All right. So I just can't. I cannot. All right. So a couple of other things here. Technical difficulties galore today. So I'm trying to get it in, but I'm having some problems pulling some stuff up for you on my giant 4.5-foot. My giant 4.5-foot screen. Good heavens. It is. It's that crazy. All right. So I'm going to try this browser. So, oh my gosh. Otters. I don't know what. A Florida man was attacked by a rabid river otter while feeding ducks. This is in Palm Beach County. A wild river otter. Oh, by the way, it totally tested positive for rabies. Ooh. Viciously attacked a 74-year-old Florida man while he was feeding ducks at a pond in Jupiter, Florida. It happened last week. So he's at the pond, something that he does regularly. He turned around, and that's when he heard the ducks quickly fly away. And then he spotted the river otter. He backed away, but the otter ran after him, causing him to fall. It's like a horror movie. Like you fall, like everybody falls in a horror movie. And it attacked him for several minutes. The man had more than 40 injuries, mostly bites and scratches on his legs and arms. He was taken to the hospital. He has been released. Before going at the man with food, the dog, river otter also attacked a dog, bit the dog's nose. Hopefully the dog is okay and they can, but they did go after the, otter. They said it was a healthy weight, but was acting weird, and he was euthanized and tested for rabies. And it was confirmed by Florida Department of Health. Ugh, stick with us.
Well, you have to keep the government open. I mean, if people want to close the government, it only makes them weaker. Why would they want to stop paying the troops or stop paying the border agents or the Coast Guard? I don't understand how that makes you stronger. I don't understand what point you're trying to make. We've got a border that's wide open today. We say it's getting worse each month under Joe Biden. We've got now border agents you saw this morning being bloodied. Why would you want to stop paying those individuals? I couldn't understand somebody that would want to do that.
I couldn't understand why in the hell the House Speaker thinks that we're paying them. Right. Why in the hell the House Speaker thinks that we're actually putting any kind of resources or more resources or needed resources towards the border. I can't understand why anybody that has an R after their name thinks that constantly making deals just to kick the GD cam down the road, that that's somehow going to get us some kind of in a better position. I don't understand why Republicans constantly turn into cowards, bootlicking cowards, cover their genitals and go hide in a corner every time the going gets tough on the budget. By God, stop wasting our money. Maybe grow a phallus and start fighting for the people. How about that? Welcome to the show.
Is it Friday?
No, it's not Friday. There's three things that make me mad. Four. Maybe five. Let's go in like order of non-importance. People who say skinny jeans are out, shut up. Disco, horrible. Followed by, I forget what the third one is. The third one is lazy people, laziness. I can't stand laziness. I actually forget what the fourth one is. But the fifth one is Republicans who are terrified of messaging. I don't care if that sounded harsh. I didn't slap anybody, so cheer me, because I feel like that we are at that. You're sitting. Why are you accepting and promoting Democrat talking points? I don't know who would want to fund that. I don't know who wants to compromise and say, okay, I'll go ahead and fund taxpayer abortion, funded abortion on demand as birth control. I'll go ahead and fund that so I can get a penny towards border security. I mean, act like you're the House leader. If you're going to be the House leader, act like you're the House leader. He's never going to come on the show again. I don't care. Oh my gosh, I just don't care. If you can't come on the show after criticism, that's your problem and not mine. It speaks to your cowardness. It doesn't speak to any kind of fault of mine. No, it's the same thing that I hear every single time this comes up. It happened. Remember when it was Cruz that time? Ted Cruz, who was, when was it 2014? That was 2014. The big shutdown in 2014. We also saw it in 2010 too. And every single time Democrats are like, can you believe that Republicans don't want to fund this? And you're always going to have some Republican, golly gee whiz, can you believe that we don't want to fund this? Why don't we want to fund this? Woo-hoo. They just go along with it. And then the media is like, look, that Republican is getting mad at these other Republicans, saying that these other Republicans don't want to fund this. You should listen to this Republican. And they prop him up as like a cudgel against our own side. That's what's happening here. That's exactly. If you're going to be the House leader, be the House leader. And you know what the House leader doesn't do? The House leader doesn't cave when you are controlling the power of the purse. And people like me all over the country have given you the consent through our vote. Through the power of our vote to make smart decisions about our money. Those smart decisions don't include stupid decisions like not properly funding border security and resources for border Customs and Border Patrol at the southern border, in place of sending billions to Ukraine, unaccountable billions to Ukraine, and also forfeiting control of our dollars, violating federal law for taxpayer-funded abortion on demand as birth control and medically unnecessary trans surgeries. That's not what we didn't give you authority to compromise over that. It makes you weaker when you do compromise on that. It makes you weaker when you adopt Democrat talking points just to move along to get along. Stop being scared of your own shadow. Grow some balls and stand up to the press narrative on this. I'm so tired of it. I have for my entire career in politics, and since I've been on air since October 28th of 2008, I have seen time and time again Republicans bend over, grab their ankles every single time this narrative comes up. Oh, golly gee. Oh, the media is saying that we're allowing these people to go unpaid. Oh my gosh. You know what? You know who's going unpaid? The people whose tax money you're frittering away at a time when our wages cannot keep up with the increase in cost of everything. That is who isn't getting paid. Why don't you worry about those people instead of the damn federal workers? Why don't you worry about the people at the border instead of your own backside in the face of this press narrative? I'm so tired of this. Damn, when are you people going to grow some spines? I'm like this far away from giving all the middle fingers I can accumulate to this party. I'm not kidding. I am almost there. And I know a lot of you are right there with me. I rarely get ticked off like this, but I'm so done with it. And to see someone who is in a position of power give cover to all of these Democrats, you're excusing what they're doing and attacking your own side who are trying to stand up for fiscal responsibility. That is their fiduciary duty. I'm so tired of it. I paid six figures in taxes because you rat bastards won't stand up. And my money's not going towards the border. My money's going to Ukraine. Paying for people's villas, paying for people's pensions. Where are y'all's money going at? Where's your money going? Heaven forbid the people who lead the party in the Senate and the House actually get up there and say, you know what? Maybe this should be a clean bill. Maybe Democrats shouldn't add poison pills to it that they know cannot get past standalone and then turn around and accuse us of not supporting the troops because they added their poison pill entitlement to this package. But heaven forbid they say that instead they get out there and go, well, golly, the government shutdown is going to make us weaker. And the media applauds them. Oh, yes, keep saying that more. And then because they've had their ego fed, they think they're doing something right, so they keep being stupid. I saw this with Too Big to Fail. I saw it with No Child Left Behind. I saw it with Too Big to Fail. We've seen it with bailout after bailout, compromise after compromise. You know, we had the Tea Party because of stuff like this. The establishment has hated me for a very long time. And I get so aggravated when I see this stuff. I get that there's a role, and you've heard me be real cool about this. I get that there's a role for people like, you know, Mitch McConnell to play or Kevin McCarthy to play. I get it. But when you go out there and you say stuff like this and you pretend that what should be an ordinary spending package has not been poisoned by the addition of stuff that Democrats don't have the beans to put forward as standalone bills. So they tack it onto this so that they can do a power play and accuse Republicans of hating the troops or accuse Republicans of not wanting to fund the border because they won't pass the stuff that was too unpopular to introduce on the floor as a standalone bill. When you give cover to that, you are them. You're working with Democrats against the American taxpayer when you start parroting this stuff. And that's what McCarthy did for about, and his people can get mad at me all day long. I've been mad at bigger people for more. I don't care. I'm so tired of this. We got this stupidity to deal with right now. That's why I didn't want to deal with Carrie Lake's stuff. I wrote a post about it. You can go read it. Ain't nobody got time for this petty phallus measuring contest that some of these fools have in this primary. I'm so done with it. I got to show you this thing, too. Because this is coming up. Dang. I had a friend in Colorado send me this. Now I've had four people send me this now in the span of 15 minutes. Commissioner Cody Davis is the commissioner of the largest county in Colorado. And he just put out there, quote, I can no longer support Lauren Boebert for Congress, and here's why. Our voters in Mesa County, along with West Slope, deserve leaders and representatives who uphold our values. He says that he has done nothing but support and fundraise He said, for the last 2.5 years, I've supported her against what I felt were unfair attacks. He adds, however, Boebert's recent behavior is simply indefensible. I heard people say there's a differential treatment between her actions and other Democrats. It's a poor excuse, blah, 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 blah. He goes, how can I criticize Democrats for their moral? I get what he's saying here. I get it. So he's asking for people to support Jeff Hurd for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. Boebert's going to get primary because Boebert will not win her next election. And I'm going to tell you that now. She's not going to win. She won by 546 votes last time. And that was after, what, 2 recounts? She will not win another election. She didn't spend enough time in her district. And that's not the only incident of maybe not some of the best behavior. I told you I'm not friends with any of these people. Don't ever mistake me as being a friend. If politicians should never do that. But I just think that, you know, when you're out and about, especially when you're, you can't be acting like that. In a district, and you can't be screaming at people in a district that you didn't win by enough to act like that in. You know, you can't do that. I mean, if you're like Chuck Schumer in New York, I mean, yeah, you got blanky votes, right? I get it. Maybe you can carry that off a little bit. Or Pelosi in San Francisco. But when you barely won by 546 votes and you don't spend enough time fundraising and doing electioneering in your district, you cannot be doing this stuff. You cannot be. And you guys know how I feel about people who do these unforced errors. You can't be making problems for voters. We're going to have enough problems on our hands keeping the House. We don't need more. You see the problem we got right now when you got leadership saying this kind of stuff. I'm going to get hateful. I'm going to tell you what. Send me a hateful email and I'm going to read it on air. And then I'm going to take it to the range. I'm going to blow a hole in it. Done. So done. Why nobody likes Dana. I always laugh when people are like, you don't like my preferred primary candidate. You must be a rhino. And I'm like, oh boy. If only you knew.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So a couple of other things here. There's a newly empowered FCC chair. And apparently they are, let me pull this up here. I'm going to throw this browser over a bridge. So this newly empowered FCC chair is moving to rekindle the net neutrality. Oh my gosh, are we having another net neutrality fight?
Why?
Are we going to have it? I want to know now. Kane, are we having another net neutrality fight?
Yeah.
I'm going to get a flamethrower like and we're just going to set it all on fire. Is that what we're doing? Is that what we're doing? I mean, we're going to match their energy, right? So y'all pick how we're going to act. Okay. The new FCC chair, she's wants to restore regulation of broadband services. Democrats gained a 3-2 majority for the first time in the Biden presidency. Jessica Rosenworcel, she's going to push to restore utility like net neutrality. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Why do they name it that? Why do they name it
net neutrality?
It's so stupid.
Yeah, it's people who barely understand or think they know enough to be dangerous. It's not net neutrality. That's not what it is. And if this progresses, we're going to spend an entire hour of a show explaining this step by step in excruciatingly minute detail to the point where your eyes are going to fall out of your head what this actually means. Just because they feel like it's a service, you know, we should. Let's see. Also, warning as a popular antiviral drug. Listen to this. It's an antiviral drug for the Rona that's pushing these unexpected mutations. It's not the vax. Don't you dare, Kane. It's not the vax. How dare you? I just want to take more of this antiviral now. I can't even pronounce it. Molnupiravir.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Molnupiravir was the first of the antivirals available on the market during the Rona pandemic. And it was used by many countries, including the United States. And it was against the chronic infections. So this drug, they say, is driving unintended mutations of the Rona. And it's increasing its genetic diversity. But not the vax. No, not that.
But just really quickly, we had an emergency use authorization, therefore no other drugs could have been used, right? That's how we got the emergency use authorization. Nobody's heard of this drug, so the mutations were not from this freaking drug.
I don't know, Kane. I mean, this is what the news article says, and we all know that the news never lies. We all know that, right? Yeah. Right? Yeah? Okay. Let's say. Let's see here. Also, let's see. The Egyptian man who was indicted with Menendez was arrested at JFK Airport. Dr. Fauci was secretly escorted to the CIA to help, air quotes, help the origins of the Rona investigation. I think he was escorted there to influence the origins review, if I was being totally honest about it. Oh, yeah, you didn't know that? That came out. That was from the Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic. They said the new allegation is that the CIA secretly escorted him into agency headquarters to influence its Rona Origins investigation. That sounds like a video game. Rona Origins. Doesn't it? Does. Let's see. Oh, yeah, you got. We're going to talk about the tree equity coming up, because that's a real thing. The Biden Forest Service is handing out $100 million to advance tree equity. Tree equity. Oh boy, we got a lot to hit. Let's stick with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I can tell you that on the wire that Hunter Biden received from the Chinese national, the beneficiary address listed was Joe Biden's home address at a time where I'm pretty certain Hunter Biden was not living in the home of Joe Biden. But if you go back even further than that, this Jonathan Lee, who wired the $260,000 from China to Hunter Biden's personal account, he is part of the Chinese Communist Party. He is a huge business person in China with a Chinese-backed entity that funds investments in the United States. So,
I love how Ian Sams is like, imagine them arguing that if someone stayed at their parents' house during the pandemic and listed it as their permanent address for work and got a paycheck, the parents also somehow worked for the employer. Except... Kane, when did the pandemic begin, sir?
Oh, yeah, that would have been in 2020. Well, in
March of 2020.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yep.
Because I had a book that came out, and I had all my events across the country canceled. So I know exactly when it happened. The dates that they found this, it was 2019, ooh, early in 2019. So it wasn't even anywhere near the start of the pandemic. Oh, gosh. Ian Sams, that sucks for you that people have calendars and memories. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you.
Poor baby Hunter.
I know. Poor infant baby little newborn 50-something-year-old Hunter. It's just, yeah, there you go. All right, so let's lighten it up a little bit. And really, this story is giving me life right now. It's from the Associated Press. So this Danish artist, right? Because you know modern art can be very subjective. I actually don't, I'm not a big fan of modern art. I'm just not. Like, reject modernity. I'm just not. Especially if you've, you know, one of the highlights of any vacation I ever took was the Uffizi Gallery in Florence, which is one of my most favorite cities I've ever visited. And all of the amazing, beautiful Renaissance artwork that was there. It's just gorgeous. And then you see, like, the balloon dog, which I'm not into. I mean, if you are, that's, you know, your jam. Woo, but I'm not. So this is why I was particularly entertained by this story. So in Copenhagen in Denmark, this Danish artist, they were doing this exhibition, and it included some modern art. It was they were going to have this huge exhibition on labor conditions. So this Danish artist was given a ton of cash by a museum to create a piece just for that, right? It was supposed to be art. Jens Hanning was given about $84,000 in Danish kroner and euro banknotes by the Kunsten Museum of Modern Art in Aalborg. And it was a whole exhibition on labor conditions and money. And it was called Work It Out. And they, you know, obviously it has kind of a political air to it, right? So the museum commissioned him to recreate two of his earlier pieces that featured banknotes attached to a canvas representing the average annual wage in Denmark and Austria. So as well as lending him the actual notes, they also paid him 25,000 kroner, almost $4,000 for the work. But here's where it gets interesting. When the officials went to collect and these two pieces and put them up in the exhibition, they were blank. They were empty canvases. He submitted two empty canvases titled Take the Money and Run. The exhibit caused a stir, understandably. So he said, hysterically, on a radio show, a Danish radio show, he said, quote, the artwork is that I have taken the money. That's what he said. And he goes, I encourage others who have just as miserable working conditions as I do to do the same. And the museum said, no, wait, you broke our agreement on how to use the money. The exhibition ends in January. So he says, he's like, I didn't commit a crime. He goes, I did not commit a crime. He says he did produce a work of art. He gave them what they wanted. So there was a ruling just a few days ago. The District Court of Copenhagen decided that Hunting can keep the 5,000 kroner from the original amount given to him by the museum. That should constitute as an artist fee because the exhibition went ahead with the empty frames. And they said the contract between the museum and Hunting had stated that the cash, the banknotes that they gave to him, would be available during the temporary display of work and that it was to be returned afterwards. So when he refused to return the cash, the museum took legal action. So they're saying that he can keep the artist fee, it sounds like. I think this is hysterical. And it also, it serves them right because modern art sucks. It does. I don't care. You get mad at me all you want to. Bleh. I don't care. Am I wrong, Kane?
No.
I'm not wrong.
I would still argue, though, the blank canvas is better than anything Hunter's put out.
You know, why not just, like, do something like that? Like, just do, I mean, I get it if you like textural pieces and things like that, you know, I get it. But the making a statement of it, isn't that, that's like a stunt more so to me than that's not art, that's a stunt.
Was it Banksy? I remember we reported on this where he like shredded the art.
Yeah. After somebody purchased this piece, it shredded.
Yeah, just
like
shredded
it was. Yeah, it was designed to do that, which I also think is hysterical. I don't know. But I thought this was just so apropos of the time. Yeah, he submitted. They showed a picture of the empty canvas. I actually think it's great. It's called Take the Money and Run. It's literally an empty canvas. And I love it how people stand in front of it like they're, you know, contemplative. Like, what does this mean? Shut up. It's a blank canvas. You absolutely got robbed. It's hysterical.
Now I want to hear Steve Miller.
Yeah. Take the money and run. Ooh, ooh, ooh. They'll probably like cite me just for humming it on YouTube. Wait, that sounds like our tune. People are like, why don't you play music on that? I would, but it's like $1 trillion to do the license for it. All right, a couple of other things I want to make sure that we hit. Tree equity. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about tree equity. Woo! I know you're so excited about this. You're all fired up in your heart of hearts. The U.S. Forest Service is allocating more than $100 million in taxpayer money grants meant to achieve tree equity. Ooh! What? Yeah, that's Forest Service announced on September 14th that it has allocated over $1 billion towards expanding access to trees. Wait, let me stop right here. Expanding access to trees.
Wait, the same government that shuts down public parks?
Yeah. Shutdown?
Okay.
Man, I pray that they do that again this time because I am so going to violate all of those orders. So, Kane, define for me access to trees.
The ability to walk up to a tree.
Okay. I mean,
I'm guessing.
Yeah. So the tree equity term was designed by a conservation nonprofit. I think it's more of an environmentalist nonprofit called American Forest. They blame the lack of trees in minority neighborhoods on discrimination. Oh, my gosh. No. Oh, yeah. Guys, I'm not going to make it through this segment. It's not going to happen. So it's the you know how they got the money, though, for this, right? It's the quote-unquote Inflation Reduction Act.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that didn't reduce inflation.
It increased it.
Yeah. So they're looking at tree equity. I don't even know what this... And then, Kane, you found tree equity score.
Yeah, it's apparently an app or something, but
you can... Oh, of course it is. This is so stupid.
Yeah, you can go on and find out things like the tree canopy in your particular neighborhood, the building density in your city, the surface temperature.
Stupid. Who cares?
The race makeup of your particular neighborhood.
Oh, of course. What the hell does that have to do with trees?
The income and employment levels of your neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. I've got to get all that in there. Mm-hmm.
So
they want to make sure that people can actually access trees. And... They need, man, if this is not a money laundering thing, then you're a dumb person. I want to have access to grass. We need more grass access. Grass. That's what we need.
Grass equity.
So that you can touch grass. That's what we need. If you give me $100 million, I'm going to increase grass equity. That's how stupid this is. I have like a ton of different, but that one I just realized, I almost said it and it wasn't going to work. So tree equity, $100 million for grants to achieve tree equity. We're totally not going to put this in our pockets at all. It's going to be about accessing trees. How does this even actually work? Like, you realize that if you are, for instance, like one part of this, they're trying to compare like urban areas to suburban areas. Hey, guess what? In a city... There's less soil. Got to go see him, Kinnison. There's less soil in a city as opposed to like the country. So guess what? In areas where there's more concrete and a greater concentration of buildings and a higher concentration of population, you're going to probably have fewer trees because of the buildings. Not because there's some giant racist plan. It's because it's a city as opposed to like a suburb or a rural area where there's more land, there's not the concentration of buildings and concrete and roadways and etc. I can't even believe I have to explain this. Do people understand the difference between like these different types of areas? $100 million on this. Damn, how do I get in on this racket? That's my question. Kane, we need to start grass equity. Inc. That's what we need to do.
On one hand, I really enjoy your idea. On the other hand,
it's amazing. It sounds great.
Extremely disappointed in our government for falling for this.
Falling or benefiting.
Or benefiting from this.
They, and through the order, Biden said, oh my gosh, quote, well, he didn't say it. Someone wrote it. The policy of my administration is that the federal government should pursue a comprehensive approach to advancing equity for all, including people of color. And like, who is saying, well, except those people. No one's saying that. People who have been underserved and marginalized and affected by like in unequal tree presence. He didn't say that last part, but that's basically what this is. So trees.
So if you live in like
then plant some damn trees. No one's stopping anybody.
If you live in like a multi-level apartment building, get a small pot and get a bonsai tree.
You know why people in apartment buildings don't have tons of trees?
Why is that?
Racism.
Dang it.
I mean, you know what that sounds like? This let me tell you. When Democrats say this stuff, it sounds like they think all minorities live in apartments.
Right.
It sounds like they think all minorities live in cities. That's what I hear whenever I hear this stupid nonsense. Oh, well, we need equity with tree access. What are you talking about? That's how white progressive trust fund socialists think. They think that, well, the minorities all live in cities. It shows you they never get out of their little racist Klan bubble. Golly. I can't believe this is a real thing. $100 million. But hey, guys, we've got Republican leadership in D.C. They say that we need to just pass this stuff so we can spend almost $1 billion on border agents. But guys, 200 something billion needs to go to Ukraine. Come on. Like it's a pittance. All right. We got Today in Stupidity on the way. Heaven help us all.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Lines when I was a senator since 1973, but I tell you what, first time I've ever done it as president.
Did he though? Did he ever like walk the picket line? Is that another one of his stories? Because I feel like that is another one of his stories. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash here with you. So tonight is the second Republican primary debate. Kane and I are not excited. I mean, I have to watch it because it's my job. But I don't know if I would, though, if it wasn't, Kane. Yeah. I just don't know.
I think we've heard everything.
Yeah.
We've heard everything already. We already know where everybody stands.
Yeah. We know where... Do you think we're going to find out any more? I don't think we're going to find out anything new.
No.
I mean, the whole point of having debates like these is you're supposed to be able to have the candidates contrast ideas and know, you know, what questions to ask on based on where they differ on these ideas. And I think there's too many of them up on stage. Because we know that half of these guys aren't even going to be there after a couple of months. It's dumb. All right. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. It is Democrat Representative Hank Guam is going to flip over Johnson. This is him when asked about the criminal activity
at the
border. People
are breaking the rules, paying a criminal organization to do so, to get to the front of the line. Does that concern you?
Have you ever been to the border before to see what's happening?
Yes, I have. I've spent a lot of time at the border, yeah.
You didn't talk with the right people, apparently, because your information, your questions based on, your questions are kind of off base.
They're off base.
Her questions are off base.
It's just the questions he doesn't want to answer.
He doesn't want to answer any of them. Folks, that does it for us today. I will send out an email to you subscribers through Substack, Chapter and Verse, because we'll have a live discussion for the debate. And you can follow along with that. You'll get instructions on how to. And in the meantime, we'll recap all the worst and the good moments tomorrow. Have a great night. Back with you behind the mic tomorrow.